Well, praise the Lord. I believe He is in the house. We've already been exhorted tonight with a word from heaven, and God is moving us forward. Praise God. We trust that tonight's message will be a continuation of the exhortation tonight. If you turn in your scripture to Ephesians chapter 5 and then keep your Bibles open, because we'll look at a few more verses in Ephesians tonight. Got some new water bottles up here. It says simple truth. I hope that's what always comes from this pulpit, is simple truth. We're living in a time when the moving of the Spirit has been substituted with just the movement of human emotion and participating in the moving of the Holy Spirit has been supplanted by becoming a spectator to something that happens on a platform. But I want you to know tonight, God not only wants to move by His Spirit, He wants us to be a participator in the moving of His Spirit. How many wants to be a participator in the moving of the Spirit? I know you've already stood several times tonight, but if you could stand for the reading of the word. Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Here it is. Here's the will of the Lord. His will is that we be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or debauchery. But His will is that we be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will for us as a people, as Christians, as a church. His will is that we be filled with the Spirit. I want to preach tonight on keep filled. Keep filled. God bless you. You can be seated. I was using my power washer this week, and it's temperamental. I've learned it. And I've learned if I run it till it completely runs out of gas, it takes me forever to get it started again. So I know the thing to do is to periodically just stop, even though I'm in the middle of the job, is to stop and to refill the tank till it gets to that point. And I was using it the other day, and you know, you develop a sense of time, and I knew that the time enough had gone by that I should stop that thing and refill it. But I didn't. I just kept on washing. Next thing I knew, that motor sputtered and it went out. And when I took the cap off, that tank was just as dry as it could be. And it reminded me, I don't know if the terminology is still used today, but we used to say when we ran a gasoline motor until the tank was empty, Brother Vent, we used to say we ran it dry. And I want to tell you, there's some real truth in that, because when we get to the point of empty, we're going to be dry. You want to know why some folks are dry, feel dry, worship dry, pray dry? It's because the tank has gone empty. I'm talking about being filled. We're living in a time when many are running on empty, and soon they will run dry. You see, I knew that motor was going to soon be empty because it started sputtering. Praise God. I know it's not deep tonight, but I'm going to tell you, when your praise and your worship and your church attendance start sputtering, the tank's about to go dry. Amen. And then when it became empty, it stopped working. It stopped working. And I had but one thought, Brother David. If I'd only kept that tank full instead of letting it run dry, I wouldn't be stopped right here doing nothing, accomplishing nothing. Could I present to us tonight that it's far better to keep filled than to run to empty and have to try to be refilled? Look at our text again tonight, verse 18. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, we don't immediately see it in the English, but the Greek tense is as such that Paul literally said, and the Ephesians understood him to say, to get filled and then keep on being filled. Just one fill. Listen, the truth of the matter is, yesterday's filling of the Spirit is not sufficient for today. And today's filling of the Spirit is not sufficient for tomorrow. Amen. It's God's will that we continually, day by day and week by week, be filled with the empowerment of His Spirit. You say, well, I was filled last year at youth camp or this and that. That's not sufficient. Thank God He fills us. But the admonition is to keep being filled. You say, I've lost my joy. I've lost my desire. I've lost my enthusiasm. That comes from a loss of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the first part of this verse, amen, Apostle Paul says, be not drunk with wine. Let me put it another way. The Apostle Paul said it's important to be filled with the right thing. You see, the truth of the matter is, if we're talking about being filled or empty, the truth of the matter is every one of us is a vessel, and we are going to be filled with something. We're going to be filled with one thing or another. And he says, don't be filled with wine. Amen. I don't know particularly what you may be filled with tonight, but there's a lot of things that can fill the vessel, from the world to lust to anger to bitterness to complacency to apathy. But Paul would say, as a vessel, don't be filled with those things, but be filled with the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Don't be filled with wine. Why? Because wine will influence you in a certain way. Wine will do things to you. Amen. In a certain way. Don't let wine be the influencer. Let the Holy Spirit be. How many's just tired of other things influencing you and moving? How many's ready to be influenced by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit? Hallelujah. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Now, so far, I've used an illustration to show why being filled is so important. But momentarily, I want to turn to the context of Ephesians. And if you will do this with me, I think it'll greatly encourage your heart tonight. But when we look at the context of the whole epistle to the Ephesians, we get to chapter 1, we see what our whole purpose is. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul tells why he is writing to the Ephesians. And he tells us our purpose as Christians. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How many knows, if you're a believer tonight, that is God's will for your and my life? You say, we live in an evil world. It doesn't matter. You say, well, there's no demarcation between the church and the world. There should be, because God's will for us is that we should be holy and without blame before Him. But here is the point tonight. There is no way we're going to be holy and without blame before Him in love if we're not filled with the Spirit. It takes the infilling of the Spirit to be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the context of the whole epistle. But now I want to look at the context of the chapter that this verse, this exhortation, be filled with the Spirit, is found in. I want us to start. We're going to do this very quickly, but this is very important. Look at verse 2. Here's what we are exhorted to do. Paul says, verse 2 of chapter 5, walk in love. Ephesians 5, 2. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Here's the point tonight. We cannot live a life of love if we're not filled with the Spirit. The admonition is that we walk in love. In other words, our life is characterized by love. It will not be characterized by love if we don't walk in the Spirit, if we're not filled with the Spirit. Why? What's the number one in the list of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Look at verse 3. Here's the next exhortation. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, not, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. Amen. And here's the exhortation. Stay away from those evil things. But we will not refrain from these sins if we're not filled with the Spirit. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we will find ourselves tempted and succumbing to these sins. Verse 6. Here's the admonition. Let no man deceive you with vain words. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we will be unable to detect deception. Do you know that's the very essence of deception, is you don't know what's happening to you. You don't if you're not filled with the Spirit. But I want to tell you something. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how many knows we're living in a world in a time of deception? Even if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll recognize it when the deception's being spoken, when someone's being deceiving. Amen. Amen. Let's go on. Verse 8, here's the admonition. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If we're not filled with the Spirit, our lives will never reflect the light of God. Here's the next admonition. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, or what is pleasing to the Lord. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll not do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we won't separate from the world. We'll join in with the world. Amen. And verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we will not watch our step. We will not be careful where we walk. Amen. Verse 16, the admonition is redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we will not see the opportunities that God has put in our lives, the things that He wants to do. And then it's verse 18 that we get to this pivotal, this fulcrum of an exhortation, be filled with the Spirit. Then in verse 19, we have another admonition, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's the point, church. When we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll lose our worship. We'll lose our praise. It's the Holy Spirit that fuels our worship. Amen. Then in verse 20, the admonition is giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we'll lose our praise and our thanksgiving. One more, verse 21, the admonition is submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we lose the infilling of the Spirit in our hearts, we'll lose the harmony and the unity in the body of Christ. So do you see why Paul felt like the exhortation to be filled with the Spirit was so important? It's because when we're filled with the Spirit, we do these things. We're enabled, we're empowered, we're motivated to fulfill these wonderful exhortations. Oh, how many wants to walk in love? How many wants to overcome deception? How many wants to be separate from the world? How many wants to worship in Spirit and in truth, praising and glorifying God? God, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with His Spirit is to be filled with His presence, His power, His passion, His purpose, His praise. Now, I said all that, I'm going to let us go in just a minute with a hunger to be filled with the Spirit. Before I share these next things, let me say this. I heard the preacher preaching a long time ago, many years ago, on a tape. I'm not going to even name his name, but he was a well-known preacher in the Baptist movement. But he got a hunger for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember him saying this. He said, you know, we come from different denominations. We call it different things. And I do believe doctrine is important. That's not my point tonight. But he said, some want to call it this, and other groups want to call it that, and Pentecostals want to call it this, and Baptists want to call it that. He said, but the bottom line is we need it. And he said this, call it what you wish. Call it the anointing. Call it the baptism. Call it the infilling. Call it the second blessing. He said, call it what you want. But he said, bottom line is we need it, and we ought to be calling out to God to send it to us. Help me tonight sense in your heart that we need the feeling of the Holy Spirit. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants every service to be fueled? How many wants your life on a Monday through a Saturday to be filled with the motivation and empowerment of the Holy Spirit? And so some very simple truths to be filled. First of all, something must be emptied of one thing to be filled with another. Hallelujah. I meant to bring a glass from the evangelist quarters and I forgot. But I want you to know, if that glass is filled with milk, you're not going to be putting any tea in it. Not if it's filled with milk. It's got to be emptied of the milk before the tea can go in. So how many knows it's a very important spiritual truth that if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, everything else must be emptied out. You know, it doesn't even have to be completely filled. How many would go to the cabinet tonight and pull out a glass and all it has in it is one little fly? How many would say, oh, it's just one little fly. I'll go ahead and pour my iced tea in there. It wouldn't matter, would it? You want it empty. I said you want it empty before you fill it. I don't mean to be too simplistic, but I want to tell you something. God wants it empty before he fills it. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. When you come to the altar, you just empty your heart out to him. Just pour it out. Or aren't there some great admonitions in Scripture? One of my favorite is when the psalmist says, pour out your hearts before God. The wonderful thing we pour out, he fills in. Secondly, tonight, something is characterized by what it's filled with. I said something is characterized by what it's filled with. If the glass is full of water, it's, what do we call it? We call it a glass of water. Isn't this deep tonight? If a glass is filled with milk, we call it a glass of milk. If it's full of tea, we call it a glass of tea. What's a vessel full of the Holy Spirit? That will characterize that person's life. There's a spirit-filled person. There's a spirit-motivated person. There's a spirit-empowered person. Oh, I want my life to be characterized by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thirdly, tonight, something is dedicated to what's in it. I know some people will gross you out. I've seen it. But they've been drinking milk, and they're down to that much. Would you like some more milk? Yes. I'm sorry, we're out of milk, but we have iced tea. Let me get you another glass. No, it's fine. Pour it right in there. How many's ever been grossed out by that? Most of us are not like that. Amen. Something is dedicated to what's in it. If it's had milk in it and you're going to refill it, amen, you're only going to put milk in it. If it's had tea in it and it's going to be refilled, it's only going to have tea in it. I want to tell you something. As a vessel, amen, we need to be dedicated to the Holy Spirit. When there's Spirit in our hearts, we are careful about what else we put into our lives. lives. I said, when we know the Spirit is in our lives, we are dedicated to that, and we're careful lest anything else be put in to our lives. And last of all tonight, something's not used until it's filled. Something's not used till it's filled. Let me ask you something. Those empty glasses in your house, amen, amen, what are they, what's being done with them? Nothing. They sit there on the shelf in the cabinet, and nothing is done with them. No motion, no activity, nothing is done with that glass as long as it's empty. It's when you fill that glass that something is done with it. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, God wants to use His people. God wants to move in His people, but empty vessels will just sit on the shelf. It's when people are filled with the Spirit that things start to happen. People begin to move. I'm telling you, when you move, when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll move out in worship. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll witness to somebody. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll move out in God and do something for Him. Filled vessels will be used. It's the purpose of God. Would you come, music? The truth of the matter is, we get filled, and life seems to take it out of us. But I want to tell you, it doesn't have to. I was reminded as I was thinking about it, somebody mentioned it at the retreat. But Jesus, before He ever faced that temptation in the wilderness, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. God preparatory to Jesus facing Satan in the wilderness, facing the wilderness and facing the wild beast in the wilderness. The Father filled the Son preparatory with the Spirit. I want to tell you, that's why God wants to fill us with the Spirit right here on a Sunday night. It's preparatory for life this week. Amen. But Jesus for 40 days fasted and was tempted by the devil there with the wild beast in the wilderness. But the scripture in Luke is very clear. Jesus went into the wilderness filled with the Spirit. And the scripture's clear, Brother Keith. It said He departed, He left the wilderness filled with the Spirit. How many knows life doesn't have to take the work of God from us? And it's in this little key admonition of Paul. Be filled and keep on being filled. Hallelujah. Would you stand across this building? I forgot my glass, so I can't really illustrate it this much. And you've probably seen it before, but if I had a full glass of water, and Brother Heath just happened to just barely bump up against me, what's going to happen? The contents are going to, what I'm looking for, not splash out, not splash is another word, splash. The contents are going to come out. That's a very simple illustration, but in life we get jostled up against. In life we get bumped by news, we get bumped by people. And Sister Revell, what's going to come out when we're jostled? What's going to come out is what we're full of. Amen. How many wants to be so filled with the Holy Spirit when the hard knocks come, what splashes out, what comes out is the Spirit? Can I just preach some reality here for all of us? If when you get knocked and jostled and anger comes out, that's what you're full of. Discouragement comes out, that's what you're full of. If bitterness comes out, that's what you're full of. If hatefulness comes out, that's what you're full of. It doesn't have to be that way. You can be filled, I can be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. How many has a hunger in your hearts? Amen. for the Spirit. One man put it this way. Unless that which is in us is greater than that which is around us, then that which is around us is going to crush us. How do those fish go to such depths of the ocean? Because they have an apparatus to equalize the pressure. And when the pressure on the outside gets greater, the pressure on the inside is increased. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I want a hunger in my heart to be filled with the Spirit and power. How many just lift your hands and say, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled. I'm tired of doing things under my own strength, my own energy, my own ability. I need the empowerment. We need something bigger than ourselves, in ourselves, so we can face what's around ourselves. Hallelujah. If you're just hungry to be filled with the Spirit, call it what you want to. And I don't mean that lightly. I just mean whatever descriptive term you need to say. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, would you come tonight? Let's seek Him in the altars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I seek You tonight. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your empowerment. Fill me with Your enablement, oh God.
Lord, hear my prayer for more.
Oh Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the power of Your Spirit. Fill us with the fruit of Your Spirit. Fill us with the gifts of Your Spirit. Fill us with the enablement of Your Spirit. Oh, fill us, Lord, tonight.
But what I need is more of You.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, fill us with Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill our minds, fill our hearts, fill our lives. Oh, we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Lord, hear my prayer.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fill me with Your presence. Fill me with Your power. Fill me with the love of Your Spirit. Fill me with the joy of Your Spirit. Let Him give you a divine power and ability tonight. Let Him give you a divine strength. Let Him give you a divine enablement tonight. It's not by might nor our power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, hallelujah.